Kirk. Before I begin my comments, I need to apologize for my voice. I was at Billy Joel last night, and it is still rock and roll to me. So I want to first begin by thanking my deputy mayor, Dr. Kanika Tomlin. You know, it wasn't that long ago that St. Pete had three deputy mayors in City Hall, each one of whom had a specific area of focus, such as neighborhoods and economic development. And when I was elected to this job, I knew that all I needed was one Kanika Tomlin to do the job. Thank you, Kanika. And also thank you, Helen Pruitt-Walls. St. Petersburg, yes. St. Petersburg is a city of the arts, and we are so fortunate to have world-class talent like our poet laureate across every discipline of the arts world. Thank you for your elevation of arts and letters in our city. To Chairwoman Amy Foster, thank you for your introduction, for your leadership, and your service. I greatly admire your commitment to the most vulnerable members of our society and your efforts to bring a better quality of life to our neighborhoods along the 34th Street corridor. Thank you. I also want to thank your colleagues, the rest of our partners in progress, Vice Chair Garvin Rice, Charlie Gertis, Jim Kennedy, Ed Montaneri, Steve Cornell, Carl Nurse, and Lisa Wheeler-Brown. Would you all please stand and be welcome? Councilmember Montanari is unable to be with us today and wanted to send his regrets. He is attending for a family matter, but we appreciate everything that he is already doing and he's done in his past. Also with us today is Congressman David Jolly. Would you please rise to be recognized? I appreciate everything the Congressman is doing in Washington in a very difficult time. This is a guy who does what he thinks is best for this community, and we are very, very appreciative. And to the other elected officials here today from our legislative delegation, I can't see all of you. I know Representative Peters and Dudley are both here. Thank you for being here. County Commission, school board members, thank you all for joining us and for all that you do for our community. Thank you to the Suncoasters, who are also here, for everything that you all do. And we had a great SPF 15, and I'll be talking about that a little later. And I see my friend Chris Steinacher, who is a great partner with the Chamber here with us. Thank you, Chris, for being here. And I also want to thank our... Yeah, you can clap. Also want to say thank you to our entire city team, many of whom are here with us today. These are dedicated public servants who help the sun shine on us every single day. The hard work, the skilled expertise, and commitment of our team, keeping the city on track 24 hours a day, it's really inspiring. It's beyond the understanding of most, and it truly exceeds expectations. Everyone on the city team, please rise to be recognized. Come on. Advisors are here. They are the Mayor's Youth Congress, and they are one of the many reasons I have so much hope for the future. Would you please give them a round of applause? My Youth Congress could go to Washington and provide some assistance to the Congressman. I think we'd be getting some things done. So, ladies and gentlemen, the state of St. Petersburg is strong and sunny. It's sparkling, creative, limitless, progressive, dynamic, emerging, delicious, awe-inspiring, eclectic, transforming, awake, bustling, transcendent, and Trump-free. Now, these are just some of the words that were shared with us on Facebook and Twitter when we asked our followers to describe the state of our city, and I couldn't agree more. We love where we live, but we're not perfect. For all our recent accomplishments, for all our strides, there are still many lives to improve and many problems to solve. There is still much work to do. This is evidenced by the 7 young men killed by gunfire at the end of 2015. Now, it's true that crime, including homicides, is trending down in St. Petersburg. We're a safe city, and our return to community-oriented policing has strengthened the relationship between our police and the community. But statistics and progress reports provide no comfort to the mother who finds her son face down in an alley. And nor should they. What you should know is that this is the issue that I care the most about. Issues like the peer and the baseball team, they're important. They don't keep me up at night. What means the most to me are people's lives, their quality of life, their safety, and whether opportunity exists for them. That's also what our city council cares the most about. It's our top job. With the help of many in our community, and many of you are here today, we are addressing the risk factors that affect our children and young adults. We are determined to do what we can to end gun violence, and most importantly, the underlying choices that lead to violence. Violence that too often leads to an exponential loss of life. Those killed and those who have killed, both are promises broken. Both are lives lost. These are the stories we read about. But there are many other stories that never make the paper, many other lives that don't end with a bullet but languish in a reality of disenfranchisement and despair. It's unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable in a place we've nicknamed the Sunshine City. And with your help, with the help of our city council and my entire team, we can write a new story for these young men. Our approach is multifaceted. From the halls of our government to the streets of our city, we put policies in place to create opportunity, such as implementing paid parental leave for moms and dads. We've raised the minimum wage to $12.50 with a plan to reach 15 by 2020. And we're protecting the public with a strong wage theft ordinance. New programs are connecting our police and fire departments to aspiring first responders at 2 South St. Petersburg high schools. We're working to establish a first responder graduate preparation program at Gitz High School that allows students to duly earn their high school diplomas and to train to work with the St. Pete Fire Department after graduation. And we've introduced a new cadet program that helps defray the cost of training to be a firefighter, so the doors of opportunity can swing open a little wider for the underserved in our city. At Lakewood High School, the new St. Pete Police Cadet Program allows juniors and seniors to take college-level courses and receive law enforcement training to prepare for a career as a police officer. This training serves to strengthen their skills and improves their likelihood of completing the police academy. And hopefully, when eligible, the participants will apply to join the best police department in America, the St. Pete Police Department. And I also add, the first agency on the west coast of Florida to receive the Gold Standard Award for accreditation. Our police department has come a long way in a short amount of time. There's no reason to mince words. The department I inherited was appalling. For too long, we were failing the men and women who work there, the people who protect us. We were also failing the public and making the news for all the wrong reasons. Today, we have a professional, compassionate police department led by a first-rate police chief and command staff. St. Petersburg, you are well served by our department. And now, externally, our urban affairs agenda, under the direction of Nikki Caper, guides our work in South St. Pete. Our focus areas include opportunity creation, commerce, neighborhoods and families, and cultural affairs. With leadership from partners like the 2020 Plan Task Force, BOLI, Pinellas Opportunity Council, the Urban League, and the Pinellas Ex-Offender Reentry Coalition, and policy shifts like those I mentioned earlier, more of our residents are being given the jobs, tools, and second chances needed to thrive. In fact, the number of youths served by our community's workforce readiness program jumped from 277 in 2014 to 478 in 2015, and more than 70% increase. Our monetary investment in youth employment for the fiscal year 2016 is $885,000, a nearly 200% increase from a decade ago. More than double the investment that I inherited. And I want to thank City Council for sharing this priority. The 2020 Plan Pilot Program, administered by the Urban League and the Opportunity Council, has helped to lift 38 families out of poverty while simultaneously training their children in leadership and employment. After 18 months of hands-on work with our families, 36 parents in poverty have completed career skills training, and at least 19 secured a new and better-paying job as a result. And through job recruitment, entrepreneurship, and business retention, we are stabilizing and growing our economy south of Central Avenue. I want to thank the Deuces Live and the 16th Street Business Association for their hard work and dedication to these vital corridors. Corridors that both require and contribute to strong, safe neighborhoods. And I also need to pause here for a moment to recognize Mike Dove. I see you out there. Mike is our Neighborhood Affairs Administrator. Mike and his team have made remarkable progress in just 2 years. And this progress is most evident in South St. Pete, where we've reduced boarded properties by 45%. I don't know that Mike ever sleeps, but I do know that every ounce, every day, every minute is spent trying to make the city better, and I thank you, Mike, for all of your work. Our final focus area for urban affairs is arts and culture, and a walk down 22nd Street South proves that we have no shortage of either. But we need to be strategic, and we need to ensure that the rich history and character of South St. Pete is preserved. Our urban affairs agenda, it's working. We are seeing results, but we must be patient. We know that breaking the cycle of poverty and lifting up South St. Petersburg's community requires a long-term approach, an approach that is not simply window dressing, but instead creates sustainable results. The results of our investment may not always be politically expedient. In fact, our work may not all manifest during my administration or even my lifetime, but it's the right thing to do. And for too long, City Hall didn't always do the right thing. Our leaders took shortcuts. They erected pretty street lights and built things without building up the people who live there. Important work was done, but it wasn't enough, and we know that we have to do more. We don't always have the answers, not to gun violence, not to poverty. But we'll do everything in our power to find the answers and the resources to implement them. If it's time, we'll take it. If it's partnerships will build that. Its money will invest it. And while we're doing our part, Pinellas County Schools must do their part. I don't want anything called a failure factory in my city. I don't want any child going to a school called a failure factory. But the time has come to stop the finger pointing. It's time for action and solutions. And it's time we realize that we all have a role to play. Everyone in every corner of this city, whether you're a retiree in Shore Acres or a young family in Lake Maggiore Shores, everyone needs to be involved. Zamari Johnson understands this. He's 20 years old and a student at St. Pete College. He buses tables to make a few dollars, and he has no children. Zamari could spend his free time doing what a lot of 20-year-olds do, but instead, he stepped up to be the president of the Southside St. Petersburg Community PTA. In a recent Tampa Bay Times story, Zamari spoke of the important role his parents played in his education. Of his mom, he said, she didn't make excuses, she got it done. She found a way to be involved. The same goes for Zamari Johnson. He is here with us today, and I'd like for him to stand and be recognized. Zamari? There are so many good stories like this, so many people just doing the right thing. People like Tamika Lindsay, whose son James attends Campbell Park Elementary. A few months ago, Deputy Mayor Tomlin and Leah McRae, our Director of Education and Community Engagement, and happy birthday, Leah. They met Tamika on a national walk to school day. Tamika volunteers for the United Way to run the walking school bus program at Campbell Park. After school, she often looks after other people's children until they make it home from work. Tamika is one of the many reasons the sun shines here. Would you please stand and be recognized? We are excited about the development plans there and the new jobs and opportunities that it will bring to the Deuces. Another major development opportunity is less than a mile away from the Commerce Park. It's called Tropicana Field Site. You may have heard of it. The understanding we've reached with the Tampa Bay Rays is good news. Good news. It's good news for baseball fans, for our taxpayers, for the city of St. Petersburg, and for our entire region. Allowing the team to explore future stadium locations in Pinellas and Hillsborough counties prior to 2028 increases the likelihood that the team will remain in our city or our region. Our taxpayers are now protected, and we've given some clarity to those seeking to build, relocate, or invest in our downtown. I, of course, still believe the team's current site, reimagined and redeveloped, is the best place for a new stadium. And in the coming years, more and more people will be living within walking and biking distance of our team's current location. In fact, 2,383 residential units are currently under construction or being planned for our downtown. The interstate will continue to offer an easy way in and out for fans traveling by car. Our bus system will be modernized, and the potential for a high-speed ferry linking our waterfront to Tampa is a real possibility. Anyone want to ride that ferry? Many of the St. Pete residents born since the Rays first pitched in 1998 are now young adults with ticket-buying power and with no allegiance to the team that once called St. Petersburg their spring home. And finally, Pinellas tourism dollars and site development proceeds to the Rays, we know St. Petersburg is the best place for this team to play. We know we're a major league city. We're an international city. We're home to world-class museums, auto racing, and film festivals. Our burgeoning innovation district is anchored by renowned health and marine sciences. Our downtown walls are adorned with the murals of famous and soon-to-be-famous street artists. We're a city that competes for a Cuban consulate. The daring city that I spoke about on the steps of City Hall during my inaugural address 2 years ago. And the Rays now have the opportunity to learn what we already know. So now our focus must shift toward developing a master plan for the Trop site and keeping the Tampa Bay Rays in St. Petersburg forever. And working with Chris Steinhopper, I will soon be announcing the formation of a Baseball Forever campaign to include St. Pete-based fans of the team, business leaders, and elected and government officials. They will be asked to pitch our city to the Tampa Bay Rays by demonstrating future fan and corporate support and the many benefits of remaining on the current site, perhaps on the site's eastern half, closer to our bustling downtown and waterfront. In the event the Rays do find a new home in the Tampa Bay area, we will have a unique opportunity to transform 85 acres of urban land, and the team will still just be a short drive away. We will also receive up to $24 million of compensation from the team. Among our strategic allocations, whether from compensation received or from our redevelopment escrow, should be at least $5 million towards our efforts in South St. Petersburg. The bottom line is that this is a win-win, and I can assure you that St. Petersburg will come out on top, because that's what we do. It's what we did in 2014, and it's what we did again in 2015. A year marked by tangible progress, a year marked by moving forward on issues that were stalled for far too long. We said goodbye to an inverted pyramid and hello to an extension of our iconic waterfront park system. Yeah. The new St. Pete Pier will truly be the people's pier. There will be something for everyone. It will once again be the crown jewel of St. Petersburg, and more specifically, our new Pier District, the first phase of our Waterfront Master Plan. I want to thank everyone for their patience as the team behind the new pier finalizes their design and we finalize the permitting process. Now, 2016 won't be the most exciting year for our new pier, but it is an important one. And we remain committed to staying within budget and honoring the programming requested by our residents. In 2015, we stopped arresting kids who committed their first misdemeanor. And we started requiring them to give back to their community. And since the program began, 77 juveniles have attended our Second Chance program, and 70 have completed it successfully. In 2015, we ensured our entire city team, from the mayor down, took inclusivity training because we know we must lead by example. We kicked off our Healthy St. Pete initiative, working with community partners to ensure our residents are living, eating, shopping, and playing healthy. We welcomed Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez to St. Petersburg so that he could shine a national spotlight on our City of Opportunity initiatives. We opened a new St. Pete College campus in Midtown, and with the help of council and so many in our community, we made the Skyway Marina District a reality. If you're a business out there, or you're watching this on TV, check out the Skyway Marina District. That is the area of the city that has the greatest opportunities for your business to relocate and be hugely successful. In 2015, we grew our cultural footprint with the start of SPF, the St. Petersburg Festival, and I cannot wait for SPF 16. And we grew the footprint of our park system by setting into motion the expansion of both Boyd Hill Nature Preserve and Abercrombie Park in West St. Pete. Nearly 40 more acres for preservation and exploration, untouched forever. We also put into place an executive order reinforcing my commitment to make St. Petersburg a model city for sustainable practices. This will also set us on a path to becoming what's called a STAR community, sustainability tools for assessing and rating communities. This will establish our baseline, help us identify gaps, and set goals for sustainable St. Pete. And with a grant from FEMA, we are funding the rebuild of 5 St. Petersburg homes in flood-prone areas, physically elevating a 6th home above the flood plain. Now, this should be complete by the end of this year, and our intent is to see that this kind of work continues well into the future. And a special thank you to Rick Dunn, our building department official, and his team for their efforts. They have gone above and beyond at a time when we know with everything happening in this city, they're being a bit overwhelmed. So we thank them for everything that they do. There is still much work to do. And my concern about our city's resilience when confronted by sea level rise or the extreme weather like we saw this past summer is only growing. I remain hopeful that City Council will use a portion of our BP settlement to fund my recommendations for a professional, comprehensive resiliency plan and climate action plan. While we're on the topic of BP settlement funds, we do have a bike share program waiting in the wings. About $500,000, and you know, to me, one of the best things to do with BP money is to use it against BP by getting people out of cars. And also in 2015, we recycled. City because not only are we recycling in greater than expected numbers, but we are recycling wisely. One of the things cities worry about as it relates to recycling is contamination levels, or the amount of non-recyclable material that are placed into those blue containers. Now, our contamination level was forecast to be as high as 20%, and to our surprise, a survey showed a 7% contamination level. That means more revenue received from our recycling materials and shows just how careful you have been to make sure we are successful. I anticipate the program will continue to grow and more people will participate, and that we will save more money by diverting these materials from our solid waste stream. I'm also proud of our city team. This was a huge undertaking for Mr. Ben Shirley and our entire sanitation department, and they delivered in a big way. And in just 2 days, recycling will get even easier for residents whose homes are on an alley. Our progression to alley recycling is an example of listening, learning, and leading. It's how government should work. In this instance, we listen to our neighborhoods, specifically the presidents of historic Old Northeast and Kenwood neighborhoods. Their advocacy for alley recycling prevailed, and their civic engagement is to be commended. Peter Motzenbecker and Carolyn Gambuti are with us, and I'd like for them to stand and be recognized. Thank you, Peter and Carolyn. And thank you to each of you, the people of the Sunshine City. You know, over the last 2 years, I've traveled around a bit to promote St. Petersburg, to recruit businesses, or to increase trade opportunities for our existing businesses. Other cities, other countries, other continents, I'll go anywhere to tell the unique story of St. Petersburg and the people who call it home. Because it's the people who are our greatest asset, who make the sun shine here. It's the child running through the splash pad at Dell Holmes Park and the teenager learning to mix music at Tasker. It's the Eckerd College search and rescue team responding to an emergency and the entrepreneur wowing the crowd at the greenhouse. It's Ralph's mom marching to the soccer match and the childhood friends opening up a market in Old Southeast. It's the young woman selling strands of sunshine, and it's the kids and cubs playing in it. It's two men getting married inside City Hall, and it's the Tuskegee Airman celebrating his 100th birthday. It's the bishop at Christ Gospel Church, but it's also the rabbi at Temple Bethel. It's St. Petersburg, and it's the best city in America. Thank you all.
That was the State of the City right here on Radio St. Pete, live coverage of the event at the Palladium Theater here in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Koontz. Check out Radio St. Pete on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. And you can check out the homemade broadcast this Sunday, tomorrow, 6:15. My guest is Eugenie Bordenot. She was Tigress in the new Hunger Games film. So check that out. And then there's also a replay Monday, 10:15, and always in the Radio St. Pete archive and on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, just search for HMB Radio. Will Koontz signing off for Radio St. Pete and the State of the City. Turn you back to the Radio St. Pete studios where the regularly scheduled programming is already in progress.
The Radionomy News Center. I'm Jeff Murphy. Heavy snow in Virginia is giving the Catholics there a pass on a